or in the vernacular.
Glinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
Absolutely. Travelling all the way, Camo, from Glinton, just outside Peterborough, to the wonderment of Lincoln. You know, it's just phenomenal. It's just amazing in every sense of the word. Did you ever visit Glinton when you were a Peterborough resident, Camo?
I think I have been through Glinton. I can't remember. See, the problem is I use a GPS, a sat nav, to get everywhere. So I don't know where anything is.
And that is the whole issue at the play when you actually rely on computer technology. You know, you rely on Skype. It doesn't work from that sort of point of view. Thankfully, Tessa managed to cope with the absence of Camo for the second part of Sound and Country Vision, which, as we said, you can hear in full. 1st of September, September the 1st, which is when it goes out, 7 o'clock UK time, or whatever equivalent happens to be on your particular part of the globe if you want to listen live. Then again, it's always downloadable. And I did appreciate, Camo, the fact that on the Sound and Country Vision Facebook page, he says, shamelessly cross-promoting, you also said, look, give us your feedback, share with us what's it all about. It's like genuine cross-promotion.
Yeah.
Splendid.
Very good. There you go.
Tessa, there are so many Codys in the world. Sometimes we get confused in terms of how many Codys, which Cody we're actually talking about at that particular
time. Cody Johnson, Cody Jinks, and they're both J's.
Exactly, you know, which Cody J. I was even more confused.
CJ, they've both got the same initials.
I'll admit something which Camo will appreciate. I even, by mistake, thought we were referring to Kobe Jones, an American footballer. I thought, this is very unusual for an American footballer actually sort of playing soccer, of course, with respect to the routine. But no, let's hand over to Camo in Nashville to explain why ultimately it could only be him.
I'm a big fan of the country that's coming out of Texas right now. It's just honest, it's real. And Texas has always been kind of its own thing. And some of these Texas artists are really breaking through. And especially in the past few years, have put out absolutely incredible albums. Dale Watson, Aaron Watson, Cody Jinks that we've spoken about. But this guy, I've been a fan of his for a while. I discovered him a couple of years ago. I think it's his sixth album, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. He used to be a rodeo cowboy. And has gone into music and is doing it real well. His name is Cody Johnson. He's got a brand new record out called Gotta Be Me, and it's a really autobiographical album for him. At least that's the way he's describing it. And I'm going to have a hard time picking my top five albums of the year if they keep coming like this. But this is the title track from the album. It's his new single, Cody Johnson, and Gotta Be Me is on Siren FM.
I'm a long country mile from being styled, dirty hat and cowboy boots. Yeah, I'm a rusty old truck. You see out front, between the Lexus and the Coupe de Ville, the one of a kind that some try to find, some are hoping that they never will. Still, I do my thing, 'cause I gotta be me. Yeah, like it or not, this is all I got. Gotta be me.
A real man charm and an unwavering honesty about who he is, where he comes from, and where he hopes to go. Is it Camo simply talking on a very dodgy line from Nashville? No, it's Cody Johnson. I know.
There you go.
You'd be pleased to know that Katie Dorr has actually been seen passing the studio windows, so should be hopefully sort of entering in the matter of moments, unless, of course, she's literally just shot by and was actually sort of hoping she'd actually duck
there
out.
She's
waving.
She is.
She's waving.
She's here.
Yeah. What does it mean being a Texas proud swagger, a real man charm? What is a real man charm, Tessa?
Well, Maybe Cabot can tell me.
Exactly. Katie Dorr, a real man charm. I mean, it's the sort of thing Dylan or Ryan Jones would manifest from that sort of point of view.
I'm not sure what real man charm is, but no, I'm intrigued.
He's not fake. Maybe that's what
he's
it is.
He's not fake. He's not fake. But he does.
I'll tell you one of the things. I mean, we were out. Remember we played at Dare's Run a couple weeks ago? We went to see them last Friday night, and we're in this bar in Nashville, and some doofus in a man bun is sitting there, and that is not real man charm. A man bun has nothing to do with that.
I know where you're coming from. There's nothing more frustrating than when you're surrounded by doofus of a man, or indeed woman, any gender. Sometimes you're faced with them, aren't you, Katie?
Oh, yes.
No names, no patril, but, you know, it's the way forward. So, Camo, I think it's fair to say we can actually give another unveiling to the jingle we launched last Thursday morning, now that we've actually got a second midweek drivette within the studio. So, I mean, you know, Tessie, you've heard this one where we kind of have a full encompassing system and package that works through on that basis. And this was the actual sort of choice of the, again, the autumn season, the fall season in many ways.
In a multiverse awash with galactic wonders, the role of the midweek drivettes is simple. As Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, Katie Dorr, Jessica Ward, Fiona Williams, Eva McDonald and Emily Jones continue broadcasting across the cosmos on 107.3 Siren FM.
Although the likelihood of getting every one of those midweek drivettes in the studio at the same time, it's like, you know,
it'd be too much.
Herding cats. No. It may happen.
We could try, but we need a lot of chairs.
Given that we've got the bake-off coming up as well, I mean, next week we actually have another chef coming into the studio, Katie.
Ooh.
Yeah, confirmed. She's brought bread before. Yeah. She'll probably
and brownies. Bring,
yeah, Linda Hewitt will be coming along with bread and brownies. It's amazing. Camo's obviously hanging on in there thinking, this phone link is not going at all well because of the quality of where I'm sitting in Nashville. It's very crackly. It's not working on that basis. We haven't even asked about the weather in Nashville. What is the weather like in Nashville, Camo?
We had, for the past couple of days, we actually broke, or we got out of the record. We set a record for 46 continuous days without the temperature dropping below 70. So we had a couple of cool nights, but then now we're back into the heat and humidity again for another week anyway. So that's okay.
Just like Lincoln, England, really. I mean, you know, the day-to-day, it's scorching, really, scorching.
Ooh, it's been humid.
Yeah.
Humid and scorching. Yeah. Katie, last two. Did we get your feedback on the production, Tessa, in terms of Cody Johnson?
Oh, the song.
Yes.
No.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. It was a very traditional country. And I always think young male country artists sound very mature.
Very mature for their age.
They do. They sound older than they look.
I was reminded, Camo, by the white hat of a character in Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yes.
But I won't go there any further, other than it did cause a mild swat of amusement. We won't ask Katie, because presumably you didn't hear any of it.
I caught the very, very end.
Well, that's all you need, really. Excellent stuff. But you can ask Camo those last two questions.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have.
Will you be joining us again soon?
I'll be back next week.
We'll be right back.
Ah, the girl I knew somewhere. We don't have to play it for Katie Dorr because she's here. Yay, Katie!
Hello.
I'm not sure whether she's actually read the William Coles epic that is Mr. Two Bomb, but, you know, best not ask William. Let's change the subject entirely. Let's move on to first days at school and indeed the experience of that, given that it'll be first days of school. Obviously, it's that. I mean, in Scotland, the land of the Scots, of course, the new term has actually started. I mean, we've got GCSEs coming up. Don't hang around north of the border. You know, they're sorted through. Isn't that right, William?
It certainly is right. I'm afraid the kids are already back at school, even though the Edinburgh Festival is still in full swing. Mm-hmm. Kids back at school. If you've got English kids, take them up to Scotland now and they'll be able to clean up all the kids' shows during the festival because there will be no kids there.
And that is something worth bearing in mind for you. You're looking shocked, Tessa. You're looking quite shocked at that particular announcement. But we will be doing a little post-congratulatory GCSE piece tomorrow. But yeah, as far as Scotland's concerned, you know, once again, they prove that they have to be there and sort it through. Clearly, they don't have to worry about harvest festivals or indeed doing any of the summer harvesting, which, as you know, Katie, is what all the Lincolnshire children do.
Out in the fields as we speak.
Out in the fields, sorting the magical whole process through. I gather, William, that there was an interesting challenge in terms of the decision that was made, because there wasn't the tearful parental farewell said at the school gates with respect to what we'd normally perhaps expect, you know, the kind of epic that comes through when people are sort of dropped into this notion of saying, right, it's time to actually go along. Something sort of slightly different happened in terms of your younger son's first day at school. And indeed his decision to say, no, Pater, stay away, I'm using Shanks's pony.
How did you know he calls me Pater?
It's the all-seeing eye and the insight into the Coles family household. If we're going to use
the books he's had fitted.
The kid, he wanted to walk to school, which is a good mile, and crossing various roads. And my wife obviously was having kittens that he'd either be run over or kidnapped. And I said, well, he's bound to be fine. He knows how to cross the road. But I did give him one small tip, because when I worked on The Sun, there were a few stories I'd had to do about kids being run over at traffic lights and indeed zebra crossings. And I said, even though I took him along to the first one and then I left him to get on with his walk. But I said, even though the lights, the cars are stopped and it's supposed to be a red light, that does not mean that you have right of way, because they could still run you over.
As ever, sage and worthwhile points. And difficult though it may well be to the listener to actually not have a little smile at the thought of children being run over at traffic lights. It's not big and it's not clever, you know. It's why, you know, the traffic and travel scenario is so important. But, you know, if you're listening to that and it's not good, you know. But anyway, you walked along with him for the first 400 yards though. That's important.
Yes, I was going the same sort of direction and I'd been chivied out of the house by my wife to just make sure that he didn't get kidnapped in the first 400 yards, which would have been bad.
Let's face it. I mean, look, when it comes to sympathy in the whole system, you do get masses of it on the midweek drive. And in case people are wondering, what about Anna Lewis? Well, Anna, sadly, her son actually fell into a bonfire recently and has had to go to the Burns unit in Salisbury. So we send positive vibes to Anna and the challenges there. And the same way, you know, clearly if you've got sort of challenges from that point of view, it's just see it part of the rich tapestry of life or so on. And when you said the mile, was that kind of rather like the Edinburgh Mile? Because I know doing that Edinburgh Mile is something which is kind of, you know, a standard line of going into the Scottish capital, isn't it? Taking that Edinburgh Mile walk.
The Royal Mile is from the palace to the castle, and that's a good mile. But no, I do not live in the palace, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Is not in the in the castle. No, he had to go sort of towards the Botanic Gardens of Edinburgh.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good mile.
If you are Facebook inclined. You can see that already we've put up photographs of Tessa, who's been doing sensational stuff with sound and country vision today. And a record which I've often been tempted to play with sound and country vision is coming up next. And I'm saying this actually primarily, Bill, because next week you'll be delighted to know that we have two Irish musicians taking part in another one of our online challenges. Yes, Katie, not only do we have a chef in the studio, we've got two musicians as well from Ireland. But Flat and Scruggs are a duo I don't think even your good self, William Coles, working for the Sun newspaper, would ever have actually encountered.
No, I've never met anyone called Scruggs before. Why is he called Scruggs?
Or Flat, in fact, you know, Flat.
Oh, I know
Scruggs.
Plenty of people called Flat,
Flat as in F-L-A-T-T. Scruggs,
like
as in
school flats.
Yeah, exactly. And Scruggs from that sort of point of view. It's a tune.
Are you
Katie,
sure he's not called Flat T?
Oh, for goodness sakes! You know, now you're not taking this seriously, William. You know, please, you know, just, how are you ever going to get Katie to get through the first few chapters of Mr. Two Bomb if you don't take
things
seriously?
Well, I want to know why it's called Scruggs. The public has a right to know.
Well, in the same way,
can't you just make it up, Alex?
No,
Scruggs, like you normally do.
Scruggs kind of feels rude.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? It kind of.
What about Shanks and Bigfoot? They were sweet like chocolate a few years ago.
Shanks, but like Shanks, it's like Shanks's pony, and that kind of feels okay. But yeah, Scruggs feels
flat and Scruggs. Well, we'll use that oracle of wisdom called the inter thingy to actually sort of address that sort of factor. Meanwhile, are you ready for a tune which I'm sure, William, you will have heard about? I've been so tempted to actually go into a country feature with either Camo on a weekly basis from Nashville or on the monthly Sound and Country Vision routines. I've held myself back, but I can do so no longer. I can do so. No, I'm sorry, Tessa. You know, this has to be aired. And here it comes.
And listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. All that is black gold, Texas tea. First thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. He said, California is the place you ought to be. So he loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. Say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. They would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in. You're all invited back again to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Beverly Hillbillies, that's what they call them now. Nice folks. Y'all come back here.
If only for y'all come back here now. Originally founded in 1948 by, indeed, Flat, Lester Flat, that would be, guitarist and banjo player Earl Scruggs, viewed by music historians as one of the premier bluegrass groups in the history of the genre. Tessa, what did you make of the Beverly Hillbillies there?
It was quite comical, actually, I thought. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very bluegrass, definitely.
The series as well helped make your...
But at least now we know that they're... Their surnames, it's not their real names, the Scruggs.
Well, the surname, it's Earl Scruggs and Earl. Lester Flat.
So now we know that it's surnames, and I thought it was their actual...
Yeah, someone had, named this child.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Lester is often seen as...
I know a Lester. Well, I actually know a Lester, strangely enough. And the Lester Cheese, so that... And there's always that as well.
Mr. Leicester Cheese, presumably.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
There we go.
But, William, what did you make? I mean, presumably you can probably just about remember the Beverly Hillbillies and...
I remember Jed Clampett, yeah. Isn't it time they made an English version of it with these hillbillies from Lincolnshire?
Yeah. We have no hills.
Yeah, he's, unfortunately, Casey's just picked up on the slight flaw in the argument. We only have one hill.
Yeah.
We could have Fenbillies. It's quite a big hill, that one, up to Lincoln Cathedral, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fairly steep.
The big Lincoln yellow bellies.
I fear that would, like, be me and Sue.
Well,
yeah, four flat bellies.
If William's happy to actually work through the whole process of the routine. Yellow bellies, actually, William, as opposed to flat bellies. It's
flat bellies. Why are they called yellow bellies?
There's lots of debate on that one.
Exactly.
My mum was from Lincolnshire, and they say they're classed as, like, Lincolnshire yellow bellies. Is that right, if you're from there?
Mm. Well,
I don't know the whole story behind it.
It could be spending too much time out in the sun. It could be a choice of army regalia to actually march off to war. It could be, frankly, all over the place. I mean, I was doing a piece which indeed will be aired tomorrow morning talking about the need for life insurance with a young lady called Claire, who also claimed to be a Lincoln yellow belly. She's astounding.
Yeah, okay.
That and sausages. It's unmissable. Midweek Drive Morning Edition, I can tell you. William, any questions you want to put to either Katie or Tessa in the studio at present about life, the universe, coping with the stresses and strains, or just generally
life? Yes, okay, yes, I've got a very big question. Obviously, Jed Clampett is sent to Beverly Hills because that's the sort of biggest contrast for his life. So where is going to be the biggest contrast in the world to Lincoln?
Oh, gosh. Exactly.
Have I flawed you?
Lincoln's kind of middly in many ways, in that it's not uber-rural, but it's certainly not metropolitan. So it's kind of which way I would go, whether I would go, like, the back end of Antarctica, where there was absolutely no one there to annoy me, or whether I would kind of go for some sort of metropolitan.
You wouldn't go
centre.
Middlesbrough then, would you?
It's not like the antithesis. No.
What about the Himalayas? You know, hilly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Himalayas. Yeah, yeah. We could work through on that basis.
Yeah. Yeah, we could send them off to maybe Tibet, to Lhasa, to commune with the Buddhist monks.
By George, I think we've got an idea for the future of the film industry and transmedia storytelling, which I shall be putting duly to Graham Harper in a matter of moments. In fact, we're already late going to the Harrogate NEHS Autumn Flower Show, so the last two questions for William need to be, please, go for it, Tessa.
Okay. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
I always have a terrific telephonic link with you, Tessa.
Oh, that's good. And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
With great alacrity, just as soon as you ask me.
Don't forget, next week, Irish people in song combative duties. Amazing.
And a report from Tibet.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in a sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, but my dad is till the day he died. And he took me by the hand, held me close to his side. Said to live a good life, play my fiddle and cry. And thank God, oh, a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on a fiddle. Taught me how to love and how to give just a little. Woo! Thank God, I'm a country boy, yeah!
Yeah, well, that's the kind of theme that we're in, from the Beverly Hillbillies onwards to colossal cabbages, monumental marrows, and tremendous tomatoes, or tomatoes for our North American listener. It's time to do a little preview on the event for autumn. Of course, the NEHS Autumn Flower Show with Ace Show director Nick Smith. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well, Alex. Good to speak to you.
Well, as ever, even though last week we had a slight sort of mix-up, we weren't sure whether we communicated. It's phenomenal stuff. We have... There's Nick waiting diligently by the phone in the Harrogate show offices, got to 6 o'clock, said, oh, I was embarrassed. I thought, Camilla Harris is never going to speak to me again. It's a disaster. What's going on here? Never mind. I see that the National Championship for Gigantamo Beefsteak Tomatoes... I'll say that again. The National Championship Championship for Gigantamo Beefsteak Tomatoes, sponsored by Van Muen, has a top prize of £1,000 for the heaviest tomato. Now, we've also looked at some of the high giant vegetables there. Those are some significant vegetables.
I always wanted to know about giant tomato competitions. Yeah. Because I love tomatoes. Do people get to eat them afterwards, or do they just sort of get admired until they...
They tend to just get admired. They don't. Yes, I mean some exhibitors do take them back with them at the end of the show, because obviously if they've won a prize, I mean you see about the £1,000. The actual top prize, if it breaks the record, is actually £6,000, which is a huge amount of money for a tomato. But yes, generally they're treated more as idols.
The Paul Pogba of the tomato growing world, in many ways.
We need a vegetable museum. Yeah, quite clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a vegetable museum would be a fantastic thing.
It would be brilliant. Yeah.
Another great idea has emerged from Midweek Drivettes in collaboration with the North of England Horticultural Society show director Nick Smith. Phenomenal.
It would be a very temporary offer, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would.
Of course, the world record weigh-in for giant onions and Gigantamo tomatoes takes place at 12 noon on Friday, the 16th of September.
Indeed.
We hope to be there, or we'll certainly be there for at least one of the packages, although I did have a senior moment where I wasn't sure whether we'd actually applied for press passes. Oh, Lord. Hopefully things will work our way through that. But, Nick, we're looking towards, obviously, not just that. I always find with the autumn show, you just pull out the stops every time. I mean, the spring flower show, we think it launches summer. Autumn launches the fall from that perspective. Tessa, have you ever been to the Chelsea Flower Show?
I haven't, no.
Because I think you'll find the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show even better. But what about yourself, Katie?
No, I haven't to either. No.
So, clearly you know where we're going with the questions, Nick. Why should Tessa and Katie make it their business to be at the Autumn Show between the 16th and 18th of September? Tessa might have to wait a year because she's going to be at the country somewhere in Italy, or Greece.
Spain.
Spain.
Yep.
It's a European, I know.
It's because we were talking about Greece as well.
Exactly.
So it's a bit confusing.
It's a relatively good excuse. It's not a brilliant excuse, you know, for not coming. the reason to come is, as you say, Alex, we start the year with the spring show, and it's really a celebration of what's to come. And we like to think that we end the sort of gardening year with the autumn show, which is a celebration of what has happened. So from our point of view, it sort of tops and tails the season, and that's what we like so much about both of the shows, but autumn especially, because it really does just bring that sense of sort of celebration of what's been grown, what's been harvested, what's gone well, what's not gone well, and also looking ahead to the next year as well. So it's a bit of a double whammy. So that's why we think we've got a bit of a unique position, in the sense that we can look back at the year and look forward to next year as well.
And although Yoda would probably sort of say, "Ah, do not turn to dark side of the force," I see that you can take a walk on the dark side of the garden and explore horticulture as you may not have seen it before.
Yes, we've got a bit of a strange one here. We've decided to do the dark side as a bit of a theme for the autumn show, and that's going to include anything from the world of carnivorous plants, poison plants, also sort of planting by the moonlight,
sinister seeds.
Yes, evening sort of gardens, and also things like what dark plants work well, you know, so dark leaf plants and things like that, and dark leaf flowers and so on. So we're just going a bit off piste there, but we thought it'd be a bit of fun and just to sort of break away from the norm, really.
Yeah. I mean, I would not expect the North of England Horticultural Society to endorse possible poisonings for people in any way. Pretty but deadly nightshade. It's a way through that whole process. But as indeed the website alludes to, from the weird and wonderful world of carnivorous plants to the sinister secrets of the pretty but poisonous.
That's it.
Yeah. New autumn attraction will lead you through a twilight zone where flowers only bloom at dusk, and the things that go bump in the night are more likely to be flora than fauna.
Well, the flowers that only bloom at night, interestingly, we're having a bit of a problem with at the moment, because they're not blooming at all at the moment.
Outrageous.
Oh, that's not good.
So we've got 3 weeks to turn that around, but I'm sure we will.
It will happen. Katie, any questions from your good self?
So what sort of happens at the Autumn Flower Show? As in, is it lots of exhibits?
What happens there stays at the Autumn Flower Show. I've said this before.
Basically, it's a whole series of different activities. So in the main hall, our new hall for autumn is called the Plant Pavilion, and that will have 70 or 80 plant nurseries, specialist plant nurseries, from all over the country and indeed some from Europe as well. which will be coming, who will all be coming and putting on a display of their plants. We've also got a huge hall which is also dedicated to fruit and vegetables, including the giant vegetable championships, as we talked about earlier. We've also then got specialist society marquees. So that's things like, if you think of things like dahlias and chrysanthemums, those sort of big, awesome flowers. There's about six, seven societies which put on a great big display in there. That's about 2,000 square metres, that marquee. It's fairly big. And then on top of that, there's crafts and gifts, there's food, and there's garden shopping. So there's a lot for people to see and a lot for people to enjoy throughout the 3 days.
It is, frankly, so unmissable that I do believe our BAFTA award-winning director, Graham Harper, is going to be bringing his wife along to actually sort of check the whole thing through. Yes, it's all very well directing classic Doctor Who and contemporary Doctor Who, and indeed doing stuff at the Manchester International Starburst Film Festival. But this time round, I think Graham will be joining us for the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show.
Excellent.
Exactly. To work our way through that. Tessa.
How many people do you expect to come to the show?
Autumn, we get between 35 and 40,000 across the 3 days. So that's the normal. It just depends on the weather slightly.
Yeah.
Between 35 and 40,000.
Wow. I was pleased to see that the Digit Garden Theatre is actually in there. I feel as though it's almost a throwback to the halcyon days of the 1960s. Dig it, man. Dig it.
See the giant tomatoes behind
you. Yeah.
Look at those.
Yes. Look at those giant tomatoes is a phrase that's used so often when we do our outside broadcasts.
I don't like tomatoes, but I love tomato ketchup. How weird is that?
Oh, I'm the opposite.
Oh,
see,
you don't like the ketchup.
Can't stand tomato ketchup.
But they do taste completely different, though, don't they?
They do.
Completely different. One's very sweet and one's not at all, really.
Yeah.
It just addresses the whole thing. Can people still buy tickets online, Nick?
Absolutely. Online tickets are available for another week, yes, week and a half. So people are very welcome to book online. Alternatively, tickets are always available on the gate as well.
Flowershow.org.uk is, of course, the go-to website. Standard sort of question. I mean, you're bedded down now, no pun intended, in a gardening philosophy there, exactly. As the premier show director, does it get any easier? Because you've done a few years of these now, as we've sort of worked our way through the process. Do you think, yes, that's it? Or are you already thinking about, well, just as our athletes are looking ahead to Tokyo 2020, we're also planning for 2017, 2018, 19, and so on.
Well, we are actually looking at 2018 at the moment. Wow. That's where we sit at the moment. So sort of we've theoretically got next year boxed off. But of course, the last year or so, we've had a lot of development with new halls and things. So we're looking forward to next month to start seeing those come online, seeing that new hall come online. And then next year, how we use it for spring. So there's always something new going on. So it's never easy, but it's always good fun.
Well, we were privileged to be able to check out during the Great Yorkshire Show, of course, the new hall. And it's looking very good, isn't it?
It is.
Lots of space, lots of routines. The Rice family were very impressed with that. They came away, Sue, Dylan, and indeed Bridget, very impressed with the space they've actually got and all sorts of other things there. So it's wonderful. I think it's going to reflect that. And presumably car parking is as well also easy to actually access in every sense of the word.
It is indeed, and car parking is free too.
There we are. I thought I'd use the phrase easy to access in every sense of the word when talking about car parking, particularly the station in Lincoln. But never mind, that's another line entirely. It's worth crossing the county boundaries for. Katie, it's time to put those last two interrogatives to our ace show director, Nick Smith. Go for it, girl.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I've had an excellent telephonic link.
Will you be joining us again soon?
I'd love to.
You say a round of applause for Nick Smith. Yay! And because this was a special request for the new cotton-picking country.
If it hadn't been for cotton, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cotton, I do? If it hadn't been for cotton, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cotton, I do?
long cutting I do?
I don't know. Presumably it's a rhetorical question. Isn't it, Graham Harper?
It certainly is.
Exactly. Graham, you actually have a phenomenal responsibility at present because the result of this telephonic link will determine the day at which Katie Dore... Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
And myself, as Tessa will be back in Glinton, just outside Peterborough, the time when Katie Dore and myself travel from Lincoln, England, to Manchester, also in England, but on a different part of the sort of area, sort of west, sort of Cheshire-based thing.
Over the
like another dimension, you mean? Like,
quite literally, another dimension. For, of course, the upcoming Starburst International Film Festival.
Oh, no!
Yay!
Oh, my goodness me, I'm going to be there.
See, this is the crucial thing. And I figured that basically Katie and myself will be discussing and debating ways forward from that point of view. Jordan Rice, the editor of Starburst magazine, has been kind enough to give us full weekend passes for the whole sort of grand thing. So
very dodgy.
What?
Very dodgy.
Yes. Please.
Katie, this is a dodgy man, but you probably know that.
Well.
Graham, I'm almost speechless there. Just because we were running the Beverly Hillbillies earlier in the production, I really think we're way off base there. Anyway, Jordan Rice has been kind enough to actually provide that courtesy of Starburst magazine and so on. So we will be covering at least one of the days. I think we're going 2 days, and we're not sure whether it would be Friday or Saturday.
What do you would like?
No. Katie wants to meet you in person, I think. Yeah. This is the critical thing from that point of view. So, you know, it's a case of when you, I mean, you know, already the film festival highlights, clearly we've got your good self talking about Inside Number 9.
Yeah, that's late in the, well, it's 7 o'clock-ish in the evening, I think. On Saturday.
Thunderbirds 1965, new episodes, Red
Dwarf. Nothing
Warfare.
To do with me,
Cuff. We've had, as Katie will attest to, when you've done shows with Jamie Anderson, mm-hmm. you know, you have a Thunderbirds connection across the base and that sort of system. So Saturday, of course, is the family day where people are invited to classic movies like The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. Red Dwarf 11, a whole spack of Wallace and Gromit actually also appear from that sort of point of view. Bob Baker, the Ray Harryhausen Foundation, and Bob Baker is actually there, who indeed has worked on Doctor Who, Wallace and Gromit, and a whole heap of other things together with K9. But Graham, when do you think Katie should actually come along so she can meet you in person?
I'm going to be travelling up sometime in the evening on Friday, but I'm actually with being on, I think it's 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and then 6.30, 7 o'clock on the Saturday. The first two are Doctor Who, and the last one is Inside Number 9.
I think it looks likely it's going to be Saturday, Katie.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think so. I mean, we were set on the Friday. We will, of course, be travelling a week on Friday to, what excitement, the official annual joyous equine delight that actually is the Burley International Horse Trials.
How wonderful.
That's right. You see, it never stops in between juggling module reports and various other bits and pieces. It just literally never stops on the whole thing. And presumably you'll be around on the Saturday to hopefully, when you're not actually on stage, because obviously that'd be churlish, to actually say, oi, you know, you're doing something, we can also dragoon you, so to speak.
I bet you between 2:30-ish to 4, there'll be a time, and then there must be some time on Saturday afternoon.
Well, we're looking definitely. To get there on the Saturday morning. I would have thought probably mid-morning.
I'll be there. I'm already going to be staying there,
So if we said we'll probably look to rendezvous, and if you're listening to this, which I hope you are, because what else would you do on a radio station other than listen to the show? don't answer that, please. In terms of the sequence, we'll probably sort of look to get there probably about 10 a.m., 10:30 in the morning, I think, which means leaving Lincoln, I would have thought, about 7:30 a.m., but we can do that, Katie.
Well, as soon as you arrive, you make sure they call me, and I'll come down to the foyer, or you come up to us, whatever.
That will actually be at the Manchester Metropolitan University, which is where it's actually...
I'll still be at the Townhouse Hotel, I would think.
Look, we'll use mobile phones to connect whilst you're
there. I think that's the way, and then I'll get over there when I can,
That's the key thing. You know, that's what we'll actually... We'll get something sorted out, so good news there.
Listen, I'm called for 1 o'clock, so I will be in the Townhouse Hotel in Manchester.
No,
I'm just saying that in case that's good for you, because you come. You might.
Listen, you know, it's live broadcasting. We don't normally give out the hotel routines.
Yes, we can tell them.
Don't blame me if we have half a mania breaking out in Manchester and all those sort of people come banging on the door saying, Graham, Graham, Graham. It's all right.
I'll just say who.
Who? Exactly. It's very important. Anyway, moving on. Katie, any questions you want to put to Graham about life, the universe, and indeed directing both Classic Who, New Who, and coping with that platonic relationship between Donna Noble and the Doctor at its height?
Oh, well, there's like 3 squillion questions I could ask about Donna. but what are you up to at the moment? What new projects are you involved in at the minute?
I'm sort of not doing anything at the moment. I've just come back from Northern Ireland doing a programme for BBC. Well, it was for an independent company in Northern Ireland, but for BBC, for children's. And I'm back here now thinking about my life. I don't really want to do too much at the moment because I'm involved with a movie.
Hey, I said it was going to happen, but shh, don't say anything. Shh.
It takes 35 years, Cub.
Oh, yeah, look, time is an illusion, as we've always said. It's just an illusion. I said that to Rosie Langhorne, who's celebrating 40 years since Legs & Co. first formed on the Top of the Pops routine. I said, Rosie, time is just an illusion. She said, that's so you, Alex. I don't understand it. It's just so you. Still, never mind.
My body feels different to that.
Oh, yeah, but you were never a dancer on Top of the Pops, Graham. Let's be honest.
That,
you know,
that,
sorry.
Twice.
maybe in your sort of fantasies, perhaps. But still, it's a different line entirely. Actually, it has to be pointed out the reason Graham wasn't with us last week. He at a moment took on the mantle of being superhero director extraordinaire, and when he got the call to replace a director who was unwell, under the weather, he literally jumped straight over to Northern Ireland. He was there. Can you mention the show itself, or do you mention any sort of ideas at all? I mean, if you're not allowed to, that's okay, but if you can...
Yes, I can. Yeah? It's just this minute gone out of my brain because I wasn't prepared to answer that.
That's okay. That's all right.
But before we finish, I'll tell you.
Yeah, okay. It's a show that the director was so impressed by, he's even forgotten the title. It's all right. We don't mind. There's so much that's done there. Tessa, any thoughts for yourself?
Well, you talk about working all the time. What do you do when you're not working? Do you never not work?
I do. At the moment, and now, because I'm getting on, I'm slowing right down, but I still like doing it. So if something really smashing comes along, I'll do it. Last weekend was someone, it sounded pretty desperate, and I thought I could cope. Gosh, it was hard, but it was fun, because I didn't know what the show was about until I got there, basically.
And have we worked out the genre that it was in? I mean, what was it? Was it crime drama? Was it
fantastic comedy drama of a dystopian? No, that's not what it is. A family that's kind of all over the place.
Dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional.
Yeah, exactly. Don't diss the function, as we like to say on a regular basis. Oh, I don't know why.
It's a series that happened last year, and it's a fabulous series, I can tell you that. It's got boys in it, and I've just forgotten the title. I'm sorry, it's gone out of my brain.
You know, it's a dysfunctional family. Are they in Northern Ireland, or is that a different part of the country entirely? Is it effectively...
They're somewhere,
yeah.
Happy somewhere.
That's all we need to know. This is great. We'll find out in a matter of... I would estimate, in terms of hours, probably a little under 96 hours. We will actually have that answer, Katie.
Yes.
We will have that answer.
And if beat it out of me in person.
Tell us the show.
Yeah, exactly. And that's Katie in her non-scary voice. You should hear her scary voice. She has many academic in tears.
I
as
have
result.
To use it on the academics quite often.
Yeah, very nice voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right. Some academics like that sort of thing. I won't go there. Not on air. Not when it's coming around to 8 minutes to 6 o'clock. Annette Andre is coming in from America once again with a whole range of other factors. And we've got Tara Bennett talking about her latest wonderful text on the art of Ice Age that she's actually just produced. Phil Leonis will hopefully be with us as well. Let's just see. Transmedia storytelling. Well, we kind of mentioned it. We haven't really got into it in any major way. Future of the film industry. Well, now that Graham's actually working on one, it definitely has one. So great stuff there. And the Autumn Flower Show. Well, as we've said, you know, hopefully Graham will actually join us and do some little reporting from that in a few weeks' time from now. Details to follow as far as that's concerned, Graham, as you take your next stage further forward in becoming an official midweek drivette, which makes everything I know.
I want to be a
drivette.
You have waited 30-odd years for this moment, Graham, and finally... He's remembered the programme. And what, pray tell, is that programme, Graham?
Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Get your pencils ready.
Yeah.
The Secret Life Boys.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Secret Life Boys.
Life Boys, they have a secret life.
Are we talking about B-O-Y-S here or B-U-O-Y-S? It could be critical.
B-O-Y-S. why, yes.
Because, well, you know, it's maybe, have you got a life, boy? Have you got a light? You know, that's,
yeah.
You go into West Country accents for no apparent reason. It's just fun to do so. Well, Tessa, I think it falls to your good self, particularly as you've had praise indeed from not one but two fine folk who've already been commenting on your sound and country vision images in terms of you look radiant and indeed just generally in total control of the whole sort of sequence.
That sounds as though you make models of yourself in sound.
Yeah, actually, it's a strange sort of radio thing we might just look
radiant
to, actually. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Acting. Yes, exactly. I'm not that good.
Yeah. No. Would you like to put those last two questions to Graham, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
I have, very much.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
If he asks me, I will.
Exactly. And as we know, you know, you got on Saturday, as well as obviously the panel discussions and the fabulous scenarios of the Starburst Magazine International Film Festival, the joys of a squillion questions from Katie Daughter, actually, a 4 days. So squillion questions.
OK. I'll have a squillion answers.
Getting in tune, the music's played by the madman.